those last two songs fit our lesson very, very well. Terry asked me a few minutes ago, am I a normal Christian? And nothing normal about Terry, but a normal Christian. Who am I to say? But again, we all can say. We can say for each other. We can say for others. And yes, Terry, I would say you're a normal Christian. I'd like to stay here longer than man's allotted days, but I don't know when that will end. I want to be grand to hear him say, well done. I know the Lord will make a way for me. He already has. And that way to him is through him. But what does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a normal Christian? The book of Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 26, there are two signs given. The Bible will tell us about some of the Jewish brethren coming to the city of Antioch, and there they begin to teach Gentiles the good news about Jesus Christ, and they are converted. This occurs after Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius. And the first Gentile convert was in that house, but evidently it was very soon. And almost, you wonder if they had heard about Cornelius or not. Or in God's plan, things were happening in two different places in the world. And anyway, these Christians from Jerusalem come to Antioch and they begin to teach Gentiles and they become Christians. And when the apostles heard about it, they sent Barnabas. They sent him to Antioch in order to see what was happening. And when Barnabas comes, two things are said. And they're both in verse 23. He arrived and he witnessed the grace of God. What does that mean? He saw the impact of God's grace on the individuals who had become Christians. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that he had died for their sins, and that as a result of what Jesus Christ had done, they were forgiven. There evidently was joy in that message. There evidently was such joy that they wanted to share that message with others. There is evidently such joy that there became an acceptance of one another in this body of people, even though different, Jew and Gentile, that this group of people in Antioch were accepting of one another and worshiping with one another. And then the second thing, that when Barnabas saw the grace of God, he rejoiced and he began to encourage them with resolute heart, with determination, with absolute resolve to remain true to the Lord. So what they were doing in this delighting in the grace of God was remaining true to Jesus. And what Barnabas is telling them to do with hearts that are set on nothing else but to remain true to Jesus Christ. These were the Christians who were the first ones to be called by that name. And this term begins to be used not only by their enemies, but also by them themselves, and later on even in the writings of the Apostle Peter. Well, what's a normal Christian like? What's it like to be a normal Christian? And am I one? And how can I tell? Well, here we go. A normal Christian is in Christ. Now, that goes beyond the idea of, okay, I've been baptized into Christ. It goes into an everyday life. That idea of being in Christ is absolutely essential. Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody goes to the Father unless they go through me. It is through Christ and in Christ that we belong to Him. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Read what the Apostle Paul writes to those normal Christians in Galatia who are having some problems. We'll get to that in just a second. But in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, Paul writes this. You are all sons of God because of your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. The idea of baptism is to put on Christ, to die to yourself and to live for Him. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, you are all one in Christ. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. You are in Christ if you are a normal Christian. Which means you've clothed yourself with Him. And everything that you do in life is done in order to please Him. Every aspect of your life is guided by and directed by Him. It doesn't mean that you're perfect in doing it. But it means that every aspect of your life, when you need correction, it's Jesus that corrects. Whenever you've done something contrary to what Jesus says, you know you've done wrong. And it breaks your heart and you want to be pleasing to Him. And so you come back to Him. That's a normal Christian, one that is in Christ. A normal Christian lives by faith. His trust is in Jesus, not in the law. And not in his own works. His trust and his confidence is in Jesus. No, I haven't been a perfect man. But I trust Him. I trust His forgiveness. And I trust what He has done for me. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul will write to the church at Galatia and say, you have been separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. If you have turned your back on Christ and are now beginning to trust in the law, to trust in a commandment rather than Jesus, to trust in the law rather than Jesus, and a normal Christian is one who puts his trust in Jesus and what He has said and in what He has done. And it leads to this kind of life. Jesus will say in Luke 46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? How can I be putting my trust in Jesus and ignoring what He says to do? How can I be a normal Christian putting my trust in Jesus Christ and pay no attention to what He says? A normal Christian is in Christ, and a normal Christian lives by faith. And a normal Christian is growing. He's not what he ought to be yet. But he's grown from what he used to be. And he's still moving toward what God would have him to be. And so a normal Christian is one that is growing. And he sees it. And sometimes he's embarrassed that he hadn't seen it before. And sometimes he's embarrassed that he didn't realize the importance and significance of it. But he's growing. And he grows every day. Look at these two verses. There are two, one in 1 Peter and one in chapter 2. And look at the emphasis on growing in both of these. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, the first two verses, the Apostle Peter writes this. Therefore, putting aside all malice, that's something I have to set aside, something I have to die to, something I have to move away from. Putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and all envy and all slander, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you've tasted the kindness of the Lord. That's a normal Christian. There's things that he needs to set aside. There's things that he knows that are contrary to what God would have him to be like and how God would have him to think. And how God would have him to feel. And he has to set those aside. And he's in the process of doing that. And he's also, this normal Christian, one that is feeding himself on the Word of God and growing in his understanding of it so that he can move from the basics to understanding it deeper and deeper and deeper. And he's growing in all of this. And the book of 2 Peter says the same thing. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, the Bible will tell us this. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence, give yourself to this. In your faith, supply moral excellence. You believe in God? Great. Now come to know what he means and the principles he wants you to live by and start applying those in your life and become a better and better person every day. And in your moral excellence, add knowledge. Know more and more about what he says. And in your knowledge, self-control. Bringing yourself under the control of Jesus. Paul says, I buffet my body every day and bring it under control. That's what he's talking about. And in your self-control, perseverance, never giving up. And in your perseverance, godliness, to have the mind and the heart of God. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness, because these are the people God created. All of these are the people Jesus died for. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Look at this. And if these qualities are yours, and they are increasing, doesn't mean they're yours in perfection. But yeah, they're there, but not as much as I would like for them to be. And so if they are yours and they are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are a normal Christian. If you are growing, and yet you still see need to grow more and room to grow more. You're a normal Christian if you have problems. Jesus said, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Read what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This is that passage where Paul talks about this tremendous treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ God has given to us in earthen vessels. Us people made out of clay. God has entrusted this treasure to us. But I want you to notice what he says following this verse. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. This power doesn't come from us. It comes from God. But we, these earthen vessels who belong to God, these earthen vessels who have this treasure inside of them, these normal Christians, we are afflicted in every way, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, bothered, but don't despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body and in our life. We show Jesus. We show the grace of God, which is what Barnabas saw when he went to Antioch. He saw people who belonged to Jesus. And that's what a normal Christian is. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall under all kinds of trials, knowing that enduring those trials builds faith and endurance in faith. And this is the way that God would have us to be. A normal Christian sins. Galatians chapter 2, 11 through 14, Paul describes the sin of Peter, who withdrew from Gentiles when some Jews showed up, and he had to be withstood and condemned to his face because he was wrong. And Paul confronted him with it. But he was still the inspired Apostle Peter. And he evidently accepted that correction and acknowledged the wrong that he was doing and returned to God. And Paul was just simply reiterating in order to show that he did not bow to every thing that the apostles wanted to do. He bowed to Jesus. And it just so happened that they all bowed to Jesus and they all followed him equally. But there was an occasion when Paul had to rebuke Peter because he stood condemned, because Peter was a normal Christian and he sinned like all normal Christians do. In the book of John, 1 John chapter 1, starting with verse 5 and going through chapter 2 and verse 1, John writes about the sin, and this passage is one that gets to be very confusing. And I want you to turn and read it with me. And it doesn't hurt us to read it again and again to make sure that we see it and understand. Because the text explains itself. And it begins to give us the idea when we first read it at the first few verses that it's saying something that's impossible for us to do. In the book of 1 John chapter 1 verse 5, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all." Okay? I'm in Christ. Christ is light. And in Christ there is no darkness at all. So does that mean that if I sin, which is following darkness, and not following the light, that then I come out of Christ? Let's look at it. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and yet we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. There's a strong emphasis on the word walk. Where the word walk indicates we're on this path. Not we've taken a step, but we're on this path. Well, who's to say when we're on the path? Let's go a little further. "But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another," all of those that are in Christ, but more importantly, fellowship with Christ himself. "And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins." Now that's where it gets confusing. If I have done something wrong, have I now left Christ? And am I now in darkness? And if I have, then what does this mean? That if I walk in Christ, he cleanses me of my sin. What sin is there that needs to be cleansed if I'm walking in Christ? And this is where we get confused and we don't understand the nature of what's being talked about. You see, if I do something wrong, walking in Christ causes me to know I did something wrong, because it's not what Christ would have me to do. If I'm walking in Christ, when I do that which Christ does not want me to do, it bothers me. I'm guilt-stricken. And when I am walking in Christ and I've done something I know I should not have done, I acknowledge it. I acknowledge it to him. And he forgives me. That's what he says next. This normal Christian who is walking in Christ sins. And here's what happens. If we say, walking in Christ, "I have no sin," we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. I have sin, but in Christ my sin is not counted against me. I have sin, but in Christ my sin is washed away. If we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, which literally means to say the same thing, which means to acknowledge it. If we acknowledge our sin, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. A normal Christian sins. And a normal Christian, when he sins and realizes he's done something contrary to God's will, acknowledges it to God, to Christ. If necessary and possible, to those that he sinned against. But he acknowledges his wrongdoing and he's forgiven. And the normal Christian has hope. And his hope is a hope that's real because it's based on what God has said. I have hope of forgiveness of sins because God said so. And he tells me how it's accomplished and how it's done through the blood of Jesus Christ. But the normal Christian does not have a hope that's based on the wishes that are just in the minds of men. There are a lot of people who wish, who have hope that all men and all people are going to be saved. That's not what it says. There are some that have a hope that I'm going to be saved no matter what I do. That's not what it says. A hope that is real is based on what God has said and based on God's promises. And a normal Christian has that hope. And that normal Christian has that hope that is strong within them. Not just an idle wish, but it's so strong within them. I can't think of that point without going back to the last words I remember Kathy saying to me before she died. When I told her, "We don't think you'll make it through the next surgery." And she said, "It's okay. It's okay." Not because of who she was, but because of who she belonged to. And that's a normal Christian. A normal Christian is simply one who belongs to Jesus and puts his trust in him. And so Barnabas will go to Antioch and he will tell them, "You keep doing that with resolve of heart. You keep being the one who belongs to Jesus." So are you a normal Christian? Are you in Christ? You ready to become a Christian? You need to come home to him. We offer you his invitation as together we stand and as we sing.